Hallelujah. Well, we got to get thinking different, don't we? How we think about things. Hallelujah. Well, we do in our ways that we think, like Mike was saying about, the way that we think is going to limit how far we can go, you know, of things that are possible. Do you ever, you know, there's one thing about it, if you've ever watched over time. I know, I remember there's a lot of, when I was, especially growing up as a young boy in church, and then later on, even my life, and then I've heard people even talk about it. People talk about science fiction, and I've heard in the church world they would always sort of look down on science fiction. And you know, it's the most, one of the most interesting things about science fiction. Do you know a lot of things that we have today in our life came because somebody talked about things in the past about what the future would be? And you know, that's one of the things the church has not done. The church hasn't talked about a future other than leaving. They haven't set the course of future, but yet we done. If you look at, it's like the God, the Bible tells us that God sent Christ before the foundation of the world. God spoken before anybody was ever created on this planet. God spoke that Christ was coming to save men he hadn't even created yet. You see, our voice is speaking out to a future. And one of the things that is talking about these things was, we were talking last week, and we're going to go into the, continue in it, is a new level of believing. There has to be a new level in believing, a new way as we as believers believe. We have to step up to something. You know, it wouldn't do us any good to have this Bible if this thing is just something of the past. Most of this Bible is taught today as something of the past. If you think about it, you look in here, this Bible from the book of Genesis on through, you read the people, the things God did, you look at the children of Israel, the miraculous things that God did for them and bringing them out of Egypt, and you look on down through the history of Israel, and then you come over into the church age and you look at all that God did, and the majority of the church world believes that all ended. This book has very little value to the church world today. It's very little value other than God will forgive you your sins. That's the bottom line on God today. Is that all God got? Is that all He has? I mean, if He does, then our God has diminished. Our God has diminished. Well, my God hasn't diminished. The whole point of the book is to tell us what God is like. And I read in this same book that God changes not, but we're told He has. And we have to come down to the place in our believing, did God change or did we change? Well, I found out that a lot of times it had to do with me more than God is believing, because we have around us so many things going on and so many things happening. It's like today. I mean, you go into the church world as a whole, the book isn't hardly even believed anymore. People are accepting all kinds of things that this book says are wrong to do, and churches are accepting it. People are saying, hey, it's okay now. These things are all right. This book was okay for the past, but hey, today we're so much more wonderful people. Oh, hasn't it turned out great? Hasn't it turned out wonderful? Well, this book is real, and this book is alive. It's a real book, and it's about a God that changes not. It's about a God who started off as a miracle worker concerning creating this earth, and He's never changed. He's always, His desire has been to do miracles. He's always done. God has. If you take miracles away from our God, we no longer have one, because the book don't fit that God. The book doesn't fit it. And this is one of the things, like Mike was saying this morning, the idea of how we perceive things or how we view things of what they are. You know, people have taught extremes about things out of the Bible, but we cannot turn around and throw away what's true because somebody did something extreme with something. This is basically what the church world did, because somebody came along and carried something too far. We've thrown the truth out. And we can't do that anymore. Jesus Christ is coming back. And there's one thing that Jesus said Himself, will He find faith when He returns? That's what He asked. Will he find faith? Is all his faith is, well, you know, I just believe on Jesus. It, you know, that might get you into heaven, but that don't mean you can get you anything else from God. And we want to, the whole thing is we're looking at these things where, and I was teaching as a new level of believing is rising up to that. When God started to deal with me on the fact of just in the areas of financial things in my own personal life, God spoke to me and he said, you give at a greater rate than you receive. God was interested in how I was receiving. If I was believing him, in other words, I understand this when he told me. In other words, my believing level, and you need to understand this, when you read the Bible, if God's talking to you about believing something, then he's talking to you about receiving something. There's no such thing in the Bible about believing something and not getting something out of it. It does not exist. You don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you don't get salvation out of it. That's never happened. That's never taken place. There's no such thing as believing God and not getting something from that believing. It always produces. You cannot believe God without it producing something for you. If nothing's being produced, you can know this without a shadow of a doubt, you're not believing. Believing always produces. When I got born again, you know, I knew how to sin. I was good at it. I was good at sinning. I was very good at it. But when I got born again, that took place. I believed on Jesus Christ. It changed my life. See, I don't believe in anybody ever got saved and they didn't change. I don't believe in this salvation that they have out here today. You get saved and then you just go live your old hellish life and just go on off. And, you know, that's just the way it, but I got saved. I don't know. That didn't happen to me. Well, did Ed Gibson get a special salvation? Ed got a special one. It was just for Ed and the rest of you. Good luck. Is that what it was? No, it wasn't. When you truly believe God, it changes your life. It changes you. No one has ever believed God without getting something out of it. It's an impossibility. Where we have the problem is what we call believing. Much of what's called believing today is unscriptural. It doesn't fit the Bible believing. Now, people say they believe stuff, but go on in their life, and I've learned this over time. I don't pay a lot of attention to what a person says. I like, you know, it's good to have them say, but I like to watch to what a person does. It's better if they're saying and their doing is the same. It matters me not a person says, I'm a Christian, because I'm going to watch to see if their doing is what they're saying. Jesus said, by their fruit you'll know them. He didn't say, by what they say you'll know them. Christianity is not just something said. Christianity is something lived. And I found this out in my walk. The power is in the living this thing. The power is in the living of this thing. Hallelujah. So what you want to do is you want to learn to live it. But we're going to look today at some things. Last week we talked I use the thing where Randall Greer had said a couple years ago, the Lord had said to him, and it really just stuck to me when I heard him say it. I was at a meeting and he made this statement. He said, if you take on a new level, the Lord told him this, if you take on a new level of believing, you'll move to a new level of receiving. You know, it's just like we sing songs here this morning and singing songs about wanting to know God more. Now, you can measure. I've learned over time to measure myself. I can know this of whether I know God more today than I did last year. If I know more about God today, if I today know more then, there should be definite changes in my life because of that knowing. If I'm just like I was and I believe just like I did last year, then I haven't gone anywhere. I know that. Why? To know God more, we want to know Him more. Why? It changes us. You know, me knowing God more don't change a thing about God. You know, a lot of people think they're going to pray and change God's mind on things. You'll never change God's mind. God changes not. I found out a long time ago, it's about me changing. I need to change. And the only way to change is like Mike was talking about, the way we think about things today. You know, like he made mention concerning the offering about making about, you know, believing God because people need jet planes and stuff. You know, people think that stuff is way out there. You know, and today when people think about money-wise and they go over in the areas and they talk about, you know, money is what people say, and people get in their mind, is the areas like $100,000 is a lot of money. Well, I want to tell you what, if $100,000 is a lot of money, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you $100,000 and I want you to live the next 10 years on it. You can't have any other money. Tell me how well it goes. Do you know the average house in the United States, new home that's built, the average cost is $250,000 in America. $250,000 is nothing today. But yet, most people are limited and they think it's a lot of money and they live in one of the houses. That's why people struggle to pay for things. The way that they think. Because even if they know God wants them to have something or do something, they have a hard time with it because of the way that they think. You got to change the way you think. You know, $1 million is no big deal. Do you know here in the United States last year, there was more millionaires created in the United States last year than any period of time in American history. But if we would go back up and go back up 50 years, that $100 million is probably worth $250,000 to what it was back then, maybe less. The idea of $1 million is not much at all. It's not much. You know, they said this, if you took people and you took all what they their property's worth, what they're, say, maybe, you know, whether they have any money, like saying that it is invested in for retirement and everything they do. And they said, you sit down and take all that a person's actually worth, what they're really, you know, their bank accounts. You take everything, property, everything you put together. They said, there's loads of people worth a million that have $1 million value. It's loads of people. But most people don't think that. Loads of people are worth $1 million and they sit around and act like they're poor. They don't even know. Well, people don't have a clue about value. And so what they do is they limit themselves even with what they have. They limit themselves. It's because of not thinking right. You know, I can say this truthfully. My parents had a lot of poverty thinking. Even though, I mean, we ate well, we lived in a house, you know, we didn't have the nicest place, but we were taken care of very well. But my parents had a poverty thinking. They had a poverty thinking because, you know, they read in the Bible about the rich young ruler, so it was bad to have money. Yet at the same time, they were trying to get money. They were going working for it. Trying to get money, trying to do things. But see, they didn't realize one of their greatest problems was their life is how they thought about money. How they thought about it. You know, money's a wonderful tool. I've learned this. Money's a wonderful tool. It allows me to do things, give things, have things happen. It's wonderful. You know, I have never come up on a poor person. I can take you out here. We'll go to the low-income housing. And you know what? You're going to find some of the most greedy people you ever met in your life. They're always trying to get money, trying to get somebody else's money, trying to do things. Government ought to give me more and do more. There's a great search for money. It's a great search for money. Now, people can get greedy in it. There's one thing that you don't want to do. You don't want to get greedy in money because it'll lead you far astray as a Christian. But money is a wonderful tool. The fact that the Apostle Paul made the statement and said that God wanted enough grace working in your life that you had enough to give to every good work. Dear Lord, that puts most Christians haven't even come close to the grace that God has for them. Paul said God wants you to have so much grace, and he was talking about the buck's grace, that you could give to every good work. Well, I decided I'm not there. Something must be wrong. And it can't be Paul, and it's not God. It's me. It has to be the way that I think. It's the way that I'm thinking. Can I arrive at that place? Can I go beyond the thinking that every good thing, it's like Mike was talking about here this morning and taking the offering, when he was talking about the fact of, you know, looking at all these things out here to do, it's like, can I give to this? Do I have the means? Can I do this? See, if you don't come to the place and see it as being achievable, you can't go there. No man's ever going to start a business that he don't think is going to work. Most people never go places in their mind. Their mind stops them from going places because they cannot see that they're able to achieve it. They can't see that they're able to achieve it. So they stop there. See, if you don't change the way you think, you can't go there. You'll always be limited. It don't matter what the Bible says. I've watched Christians sit down and say what the Bible says and cheer about what it says, but they really can't believe that they can go there. They think, that's a neat saying, but somehow it don't fit me. That must be for somebody else. That's for another crowd. And it's breaking free from that. Look, I'm not saying things to condemn anybody. Look, but we have to deal with this. Because if we don't go to a different way to believe, you cannot go to a different place to receive. It'll never happen. You can't go there. It's an impossibility. And you know, I said as God was dealing with me on that fact of, I have to attain something. We read last week where Jesus Christ himself said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Well, Jesus was dealing with a man whose son was having epileptic seizures. Now, I want you to think about this. People say today, well, God don't heal anymore. He's not in the healing business anymore. He left the healing business when the last apostle died. I didn't know believing stopped. I didn't know that stopped. He said, all things are possible to him that believeth. Today, the church world doesn't believe that. They're nice words on a page. They're nice words on a page. Jesus said it. And it doesn't matter if I say I believe it. It's just like this. They did a survey back last year here in America, and they got one of these things, and they said 80% of Americans believe that the Bible's the Word of God. And I said, well, a lot of good that does. You could say you believe the Bible is the Word of God. I said 80% of Americans live like there is no God. So I know this, what they say they believe, what they're doing, is two different things. I don't care what they say. Take a survey. People are idiots. Didn't you notice? Dear Lord, I know. I lived 30 years like an idiot. You'd have said something to me in a survey and I'd have said something stupid. Trying to act like I was smart. You know, we need to face the facts. But see, if people don't change, if we don't change how we view things and how we see things, this is one of the things we need very careful today. And I've said this many times, and I'm going to say it many times. You've got to be very careful about how much you watch of what goes on in the world around you, because it can defeat you. I don't care if everybody else is going under, I'm not. Anybody else wants to go under, I'll help you pack your bags and you can go there. I love you. But I ain't going. I'm not going there. I don't care what this administration and our government's doing and what people and what Congress is doing. I'm going to tell you, they're not my God. And they're not going to have less say in this thing. I read the Bible and Jesus said all things are possible to him that believeth. Now I can sit and let them discourage me. I can let them speak into my life and believe what they say or doing. I can give them power, or I can walk in the power that God has given me. I have that choice. That's a choice that's given to you and me. We want to walk in the power that's given to us. We need to begin to think different, see ourselves in the light. I mean, just the fact the Bible calls the Christian, that Paul wrote and said that we were the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And if any group that believes that they're not righteous, it's the church. Oh, we're just old sinners saved by grace. I was an old sinner, I saved by grace, and now I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God called me righteous, I didn't. He did. But I have enough sense to know I'm going to agree with what he said and not with what people say. See, these are basic principles. That's a basic principle. You're not, if you don't think you're worthy of the things of God, you'll never get them. Are you worthy of what God has? Look, folks, I was never worthy of salvation, but God offered it and I took it. Hey, he offered it. If he didn't want me to have it, he shouldn't have offered it. He offered it in spite of worthiness. Do you think God's going to bless you because you've been worthy? Get a life. It don't work that way. It works by faith. That people trust in his righteousness and his goodness and his kindness and his mercy, that he'll do good to me in spite of me. Didn't he do that when he sent Jesus? Hallelujah. Do you think the day that he sent Jesus and Jesus come down off the cross and did all that for mankind to take the sin of the world and then stopped and said, well, that's it, I'm going home and this is all over now, and now you're all on your own. That's what's been preached in the church world. You can go in most churches today. You can go immerse in ones that say they believe in being born again and they're preaching junk about Jesus. They don't honor Him to who He really is and the glory and the wondrous things that He's done, and He's changed not. He's as glorious today and will do today for us all that He would have done before, ever had done, ever walked in or did, or whatever He would do in the future, He'll do for us today. Hallelujah. Well, I already preached me happy. I like this Jesus. Jesus is better than He's ever been preached. He's more glorious than men ever thought about the glory of God. And we can't go there and touch into that glory till we start speaking the truth about Him. The church wants to touch into things. We want to change nation. Talking junk. Talking what the world talks. Saying what the world says. We can't go there. We have to have a higher level. Hallelujah. We got one. We have a higher level. A higher place to walk. And we want to walk in that place. I'm going to share a few things here this morning. All that was free. I didn't plan on having no notes in that. But when the Holy Ghost come on me and I just, you know. I tell you, we need a, I need a shaking up. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, I'm tired of religion. I'm tired of just church. I'm going to tell you, I want God. I want God. I want God. Hallelujah. I don't want something less. I want to look at some things because I think it was taught years ago. And in 1953, Kenneth E. Hagin was in Phoenix, Arizona, minding his own business, not trying to do anything. And Jesus appeared to him in a vision and gave him a teaching on so people could receive from God. There's one of the things is we've always heard this, all this hit and miss prayer stuff. You know, sometimes God says yes, sometimes He says no, sometimes He says wait. I want you to understand this. I have never had God ever do that to me, and I can find no place in Scripture that says those things. That thing has been spoken and put in and written by men, but has never been said by God. The Apostle John wrote these words. Now, he may have lied. It's in the Bible, but he could have lied when he said them. He said, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, then we know we have the petition we request of Him. John didn't say, God sometimes says yes, sometimes God says no, sometimes God says maybe. God says wait. Never such thing has ever been written in the book. Jesus said, if you ask the Father anything in My name, He'll do it for you. That's what He said. But then we can't trust what Jesus said, can we? The preachers have told us different. We can't. They've told us, no, you can't have it. Sometimes God says no. No. Jesus said if you ask anything in His name, God will give it to you. No, that don't count. That don't count. Jesus was just being nice, trying to make the guys feel good. Difficult time, He wanted to say something to cheer them up. You know, it's not true. But see, we need to get a hold of these things because these ways of thinking have gotten into all levels of the church and Christian era. And they seep into our lives and they limit us. They limit how we think about God. When we go to pray, is it something if you go to pray as a skeptic? You know, people say, I'm trusting God. You know, I've had many times people come to me and say, well, they want you to pray about a certain thing and they'll want to pray. And then they'll say, pray about it. And then they'll say, make statements. Well, you know, if it is God's will for me to have that, or it's God's will to do that. And I always stop them right there. There's no point in praying. If you don't know it's God's will, you shouldn't even be asking for it. And if it's not His will, He ain't going to do it anyhow. So what's the point? Why are we praying? Most of the prayer life of the church is worthless because they're praying things that they don't even believe God wants to do, or they don't know if He wants to do it or not. They're going through motions. And I'll tell you what, it must be heartbreaking to God. You know, can you imagine as a parent, you love your children, you want to do for them and things like that, and you want to help them, but they're sitting out there starving to death, but they won't come and ask you for lunch. They don't believe you want to give it to them. I would hate to think that my kids wouldn't want to think I wouldn't want to bless them. Yet we have a God that the church says they love and they think He's like that. Well, I've had born-again Christians come to me and say, why did God kill that little child? I said, God didn't kill the little child. Jesus said the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. I come that you might have life. Jesus said that. And what the church does, run around blames God for all the disaster. All the disaster, it's God. God's working the disasters. No, you don't. We reap what we sow, folks. We help the devil kill us. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. We help the devil kill us. We reap what we sow. The Bible says you sow the flesh, you reap corruption. That's what you get. Well, we said it was God's fault. It wasn't God's fault. The mess in this earth has been man messing around, letting the devil do what he wants to do, and then helping him do it. We've been on board. We've been helping him, and then saying, God, why don't you do something? Believe me, if anybody's trying to do something, it's God. God has always been trying to do something, but men keep listening to the voice of all kinds of things other than God. Men listen to the voice of all kinds of things. And, you know, what good does it do to pray to a God who doesn't answer? What would it do any good? You know, this is one thing, as I see a lot of Christians, they say, well, Christians, you know, they don't have much of a prayer life. Well, why would you pray if you listen to half these preachers talk, why would you ever pray to begin with? God probably ain't going to listen to it anyhow or do it. So what's the point? Are we just wasting our time? I'm not wasting my time. When I heard years ago, I remember listening back in 1980, listening to Kenneth Hagin teaching, and I'll never forget it. I had a series that he was doing about being led by the Spirit, but he made this statement. He said, I have never prayed, he said, for something for myself personally once, he said, in my life, that I didn't get what I prayed for. And I thought, dear Lord, he's way out there beyond me. He said, never one time. You know, I thought that was way out there. But you know what? It's not way out there. It's Bible. We're not supposed to be praying for things we don't get answers for. God's glorified in you getting answers. Go read the Gospel of John, the 15th chapter. And it talks about praying, about asking anything, you know, about prayer, our prayers and asking. He's talking about the Word of God being in us. If the Word's in me, he said, I can ask anything and he'll do it for me. He said, in this the Father's glorified. We were told God got glorified by saying no. God got glorified and say, no, not now, sometime later. No, a maybe glorifies God. John didn't write that. John wrote that Jesus Christ himself said that your answered prayer glorifies God. He said that you produce much fruit. He was talking about prayer fruit. You're supposed to have a fruitful prayer life. The only kind of fruitful prayer life that I have, it means you'd be getting answered prayer. Other than that, I don't call out any kind of fruit, would you? That's no fruit. No fruit at all. And see, we have these things, and that's why it's teaching. You know, it's funny because, now if I go back to when I came to Christ, and I don't like Mike, I met Mike early on and come to Christ, this was the basic teachings of things we had, that God was going to answer your prayer. Where had we strayed to? The Spirit-filled church has become a dead church. They preach the stuff that they used to knock people for when I came into the kingdom, and they preach it today. We're just trying to get by down here. We got to get Jesus to come back because the devil's going to get us all. Oh my God, the president's the Antichrist. No, he's not. Why would the devil don't have to have the Antichrist in office, although he is. But let's understand this. He's in the church fully. The Antichrist spirit is in most of the Church of America. They're following it. Accepting all kind of sin, any kind of lifestyle, any kind of junk. Now out of the Spirit-filled church, they're preaching, you don't have to repent for sin anymore, you were forgiven, so you can just go, when you go out here and sin, you don't ask forgiveness, you just go on and do what you want. Big names, the big names of people are doing this stuff, preaching these things. And it's leading to all kind of doctrines that are evil. This is Spirit-filled. I'm not talking about out here the Lutherans preaching. I'm talking Spirit-filled. Big boys on TV preaching trash, preaching garbage. This stuff must end, folks. And the only way we can end is come back to the truth. We got to come back to the truth. See, they've come along, and what they don't realize, they've made Jesus little. See, Jesus is no longer the forefront of the church. His word is not above all. You know, I've told you many times, I love history, and I like history, but also like history of the church and history of things. And you know, I like to go back and read after people of the past, you know, of ministries and stuff. Because to find out, revelation, things that people knew. You know, John G. Lake was a man that I always was interested in because he knew things about the power of God that most of the church world has not even a clue of today. It's been lost. It's not even preached. You know, as people turn around and use John G. Lake as an example, and it makes me laugh when I hear some of these preachers because, man, John G. Lake would have probably told them they were going to end up in hell the way they were, what they were doing. And they're trying to use him as an example. He didn't believe at all like they did. But John G. Lake walked under the power of God phenomenally, and I wanted to know why. Why does this man, what does he know that we don't know? Don't that interest you that somebody would know? I want to know why. Why, you know, here's the church world's answer as a general. Well, God just chose him. That's a bunch of bunk, junk, and hogwash. God doesn't just choose a man and can operate any old way through them if the man can't cooperate with God. Folks, I understand. If I don't cooperate with anointing, it don't work. I've been at this long enough to know it. You have to know how to cooperate with it. I wanted to know what this man knew. Well, when I began to sit down and read his stuff, I found out, my God, he doesn't believe like the church believes. He don't think like we think. His view of God, his view of Jesus Christ, his honor of Jesus Christ. It's like when you sit down and you look at that compared to today of what the church world's doing, there's no comparison to it. There is no comparison. Jesus Christ said to Randall Greer, told him, he said, I can't pour my glory out in the American church. He said, in the condition they're in, because I would be putting my approval on their filthy lives. Now, not everybody lives a filthy life. There are people who are surely do want to follow God and hunger for God. But I'm going to tell you what, they are definitely in the minority. And he told him, I am going to have to judge the church. This is one thing as God's dealing with us in the areas of faith, of bringing back to true faith again in God. Because there's only one way that you and I will stay out of judgment is move back to truth. And quit following religion. We can't follow the religion of the day. We can't follow it. It's wrong. It's error. We need to come back to the foundations of truth again. And we stand there in those places. Jesus said, the man who hears my words and does them is like the guy who built his house on the rock. When a storm came, the wind blew and all that, when it's all over, he's still there. Hallelujah. The guy who hears the word and does it. There's one thing that I want to know. John G. Lake said all this time. He said, Jesus Christ is the final of authority. He said, I don't care what any man says. Jesus is the final of authority. I'm going with what he said. And I thought, well, no wonder this guy is where he was. Because he held Jesus as final authority. Jesus is not Lord in the majority of the church world today. He's not Lord. He just happens to be a nice guy who died, who they say, well, took our sins so we can live like hell and don't have to ever face anything to it. Well, that's not true. I read other pages in the New Testament that said you reap what you sow. So I know they aren't teaching the truth. But see, if Jesus Christ, we honor him. And that's the whole thing. Revelation comes from God, and it comes through faith in Christ Jesus. You need to understand about the Holy Spirit who lives in you. The Holy Ghost of God lives in you. And I want you to understand this clearly. He will not commune with you or fellowship with you no more in the level you honor Jesus Christ. See, we need to understand that. This is why people are saying, well, we want a move of God, then we must honor Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost reveals the power of who He is. And without honor of Jesus, we've got to bring Jesus See, this is one thing. I love songs that sing about Jesus. I like some of the folk stuff that focuses on Jesus. Why? He is the head of the church. We're not. He's the leader of the thing. I want to know what he's saying. I want to know what he's speaking. I want to know what he's doing. Because what? He's the head. I'm not. And you know, all of us at times try to be the head of something, don't we? Usually of something we should never be the head of. Everybody's done it. But it comes down to it. There's only one way out of our messes, is going back to Jesus Christ is the head. Repentance is going back to God and saying, God, I blew it. I need your help. That's why the word says, come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. When man messes up, he can run back to God and let Jesus be Lord again. And you know what? In spite of all of our stupidity, if you ever learn to do that, you'd find out how quick things get changed around and back on track, because he ain't out there saying, oh, you scumbag, you missed it, you're an idiot, you dummy. He'll say, now you come to me, I'll help you out. You made a mess, but I'll help you straighten this. I'll help you get back on your feet again. But men say, no, we don't have to repent. We can just keep living in sin, and he keeps taking care of it. I know this about the Holy Spirit. He takes what belongs to Jesus and reveals to it. If I'm not following in the way of Jesus, he has nothing to reveal to me. Jesus must become the center of the church world again. He must come back to the center. We must allow him to be. You know, there's one of the songs that we have. We've been having this, I think the CD messing up. It must be the devil. One of the things is, Jesus, be the center of my life. I want Jesus. You know, I realize as I've gone along and grown as Christians, I realize where I come along, and every time I run to a place and say, you know, Jesus really hasn't been the center of my life in this area or that area. There's areas I've let him rule, and there's areas I've ruled. Well, let me tell you, it's worked out real well, too. So there's areas, but the whole thing about it, he's never condemned me over it. But God, because hey, we all don't know everything. All of a sudden you get a revelation about something, all of a sudden you realize, hey, you know, I haven't been doing this quite right. You know, there's something that I need to know. But we step in that place where Jesus can rule. And I found this. I have never had once in my Christian walk where I've gotten a revelation where I have not let Jesus do what he wants to do, that when I don't step over into that, something changes. Things begin to change. Things begin to take steps in direction, and I know it. You walk in and you just fall into what's right to do when you get that revelation. All of us need revelation. Nobody's arrived at the spot where they know everything. We don't. But when you come to the place and revelation's been given to us, we need to walk in it. This is one of the great problems right now in the Spirit-filled Church of America, is in great danger of severe judgment because they've been taught right and are not living it. It's one thing for a person not to know the truth. It's a whole different thing. The Bible says a guy who knows and doesn't do it, he is severely punished more than the guy who didn't know. That's God talking. So I know this. There's things that I have looked on, you know. Randall Greer did some years ago, he did some teaching back about 5 years ago about, and was talking about Abraham and Isaac, and how after Abraham's death, Isaac went back and redug the wells of Abraham. And he talked about that and used it as an illustration to going back to the revelation that we had and walked in and going back to that revelation. And he was talking about the church leaving revelation that they had. And I found out that over time, there's things that I was taught that I really wasn't walking in the light of it. I knew. And it eats into things. Some things don't work as well. Some things, and you wonder why. Why isn't this working? Well, you find out there's things that you knew to do. The Bible says to him that knows to do, knows to do good and does it not, it's a sin. See, we never viewed the fact that if I knew what to do and I didn't do it, that it was a sin to do it. Today, the word sin's not used in the church anymore. It's called, I made a mistake. No, it's not. You sinned. If it was just a mistake, I was adding, and it was 2 and 2, and I put 3 down. That's a mistake. If I know to do good and do it not, it's called sin. And the Bible tells me what I do when I sin. See, the church doesn't do, and that's why we have these doctrines today that you don't have to repent of sin. You don't have to repent of sin anymore. We don't have to do that, because it's not sin. Ha ha! We don't sin anymore. We make mistakes. Oh, hallelujah. You know, it's one of the things that we identify sin by calling it what it is. We identify, we put it in its place. Also, we hold it in its severity that it is. If I don't do that, if I make it, it's just a mistake, I'm going to tire of that. I've watched this. People who are always making mistakes and saying, I just made a mistake, they keep doing the same thing over and over, and they never change. Why? There's no power to change. They can't get God involved in it. They don't think they sinned. See, I need the power of God in it. I need the grace of God working, so I'm going to have to do what the Bible said. If it's sin, I have to do what the Bible says about sin. And if I do what the Bible says about sin, then I'm empowered to deal with sin. It's only as I deal with it as Scripture says. That's why it's going back to basics of the truth of the Word of God and what God has said. There are so many gracious things that the Lord Jesus Christ said Himself when He walked the earth. There are so many gracious things that are written in the epistles of the church. It's absolutely phenomenal that God is as incredible as He is. And I understand this. With most people, here's where we're at. We're at the place, just like Jesus saying, all things are possible to him that believeth. That's a quite phenomenal statement. You're not going to generally just believe that thing. Now, you can say you believe it. Now, I believed it from the standpoint, I used to believe it from the standpoint that that was a true statement, he said it. And that's where most people are. Most people don't believe it actually works. See, I might believe it that it was written, that Jesus actually said it, but that doesn't believe I have any faith to walk in. And a couple years back, well, it's been about 3 years or so back, I got looking over in that scripture, and I'm going to tell you what, I realized how much unbelief I had in me concerning that scripture. I started to realize how limited I was in my believing. Because I definitely had many categories where all things were not possible. You know, face it, you do too, you know. You do too. You have places where, well, you know, that was a nice thing Jesus said, but, you know, he was just being a cheering section to a poor guy who was in trouble with his son. No, he was right. He's what he told the guy. Everything's possible. All things are possible to him that believeth. That's a phenomenal statement to make to people. See, I know in the church world that it's not, those things aren't believed. It's just the viewing that Christians have of themselves. Christians just look at themselves as just like everybody else. We're not like everybody else. The Bible tells us clearly we're a different race of people. The church doesn't believe that. The church sees themselves as, I'm, you know, just happen to be born here in America and I'm just here. They don't view themselves as a race of people. We don't walk in the light of the race that we are. We're God's children. We have a right, a God-given right of anything that our daddy has. Jesus said, anything that's according to God's will, John said, we can ask for it and know we'll get it. Anything. Now think about that. The world can't do that. The world can't. An unbeliever has no right to ask God for anything other than salvation. He has no right to ask for anything because he's not under the covenant of God. The only place you have to become a child of God to enter the covenant, in other words, to enter the family. You entered a family. You're a child of God. You're not like everybody else. If you're a believer, you're not like everybody else. I'm not like the world. See, we have lived up to the standard of what we believe we are. Most of the Christian world believes we're like everybody else, so they sin like everybody else. They live lives, they talk the same trash and junk everybody else does. They watch the same things. They're identical to it. Why? They believe they're like everybody else. You know, let's go out here and let's look at some millionaire families. Isn't it funny? The kids don't run around living like they're poor, do they? Oh, God can do anything, but he chooses to do nothing. You see, our view, we talk about this wonderful, great God, you know, but we still view ourselves as old sinners. We view ourselves in the light of other sinners, of people who are not born again. We don't think we can ask any more from God than anybody else can. We think that, you know, we're just trying to get by. We're trying to get along. We don't see ourselves in the light of what Scripture says to us. We're this generation, this royal group, this holy people. The Bible calls us kings and priests. They're written, I mean, these words are written in New Testament. They're in the New Testament. But the church basically sees themselves like they do everybody else. God doesn't. I know this for a fact. God has spoken to me grieving because of things He can't do for His kids because they won't believe Him for. The things that people go through that they'd never have to go through. It breaks His heart. Because people won't stop and say, hey, hold it. We've got to stop sometime and look at the book. The book is right. My thinking's wrong. If anybody else preaches anything different, I love them. I ain't going to throw stones at them, but I ain't listening to them. I'm sorry. I won't buy it. The book's true. Let God be true and every man a liar. Man, we've had some liars. Folks, we've lied at times. We thought things. And we did. Thank God. He's forgiven, isn't He? He's good. Thank God He's been better to me than I've done. But that's just the way He is. Hallelujah. You know, He's not out there looking at everybody down here. God is not wanting to destroy the church, but yes, He must correct it. He must correct. We have to come to a new level of believing. A new level, a new place where you and I walk in trust with God. And you can do it. As number one, as the Bible tells us, as the Bible, look through the Scriptures, read the Scriptures. We are called, sit down with in the New Testament, lead the letters to the church. And you know what they call you guys? Believers. That's what you are. The day that you accepted Jesus Christ, you believed on Jesus Christ, the Bible calls you a believer. It should never come out of your mouth that somehow you can't believe God. You are a believer. That's what you are. You're either going to speak what God says or you're going to talk what the world says. God says you're a believer. You were designed to believe. You have a new created human spirit in you that is the most perfect ground to regenerate the Word of God and produce what God wants produced in this earth. You're born again. You're a child of God. You have been made of God to believe. That's what you are. No Christian ever has to struggle to believe. The struggle that goes on is in our minds. We don't get it renewed and we keep battling what's inside of us, what we really are. And we sit around and keep playing this game. You understand today, if the news media walked in here today and said to us, the Russians have attacked us, 90% of people would believe it. But if God walked in here and said something, people will question it. You let a man stand up and said, God said, and everybody starts, well, I wonder if God really said, I don't know, yeah. Oh, but let nightly news, dear Lord, the gods of the world, yes, we bow down to them. They said. We choose what we believe. Don't put unbelief in the category, you don't know what to do. You've chosen it. You're a believer. Every day you call yourself a believer. When you get up in the morning and go in the bathroom and look at that face in the mirror, don't let it scare your mind, does sometimes. But you look at that face in the mirror, that's a believer. And don't you talk any different about it because it's a lie. It's not what God said. You're a believer. You can believe God. It's the easiest thing to do. It's by choice. I choose to believe God. That's my choice. People say, well, you'll get over here as a fanatic. Yes, let me alone. I'm having a good time at it. Let me alone. I'm going to be a fanatic. We need fanatical Christians. This milquetoast junk we got in the church world stinks. I am tired of eating. I want to eat a steak now and then. I'm tired of drinking milk and having toast. I'm tired of pablum preaching. I want a God that's real. That's what I want. That's what I, man, ain't that what we had when we came in the kingdom? That's what they were doing, Mike. No wonder people don't want to go to church. Hey, I can get pablum at home. I don't have to go out and go sit down and pay some guy to give it to me. Dear Lord God. Hallelujah. Say, well, you get really excited about this. I can't help it. Our God is incredible. And all of us, I'm not talking to any certain person or anybody, all of us have walked in less than what we have. And now it's time to stand up. It's time to come back and dig the wells of our fathers before. I'm going back to what I was taught, and I'm going to stand in it. And I don't care who changes. Those liars can do whatever they want. I will not move off of who God is. Hallelujah. I have no greatness without Him. There's nothing great. Without God, man's nothing. And we've learned in the church world, now you can live without Him. You don't have to have Him. We can have organizations and we can do all kinds of things. We can accept anything we want. We can draw crowds. I don't want a crowd. I want Jesus. If nobody else comes, I don't care. But if Jesus comes, that's where I want Jesus. I've been in big churches and Jesus wasn't there. And they got up and talked all their nice stuff and they used to throw the name around out there, but He ain't there. Because I know that spirit when it's around. Man, I've had it on me numbers and numbers and thousands and thousands and thousands of times. I know that spirit. Hallelujah. And I want it. And I want that. See, back in the 80s, man, we used to go to church in the 80s and that stuff. I tell you, God would show up, and we weren't a bunch of rocket scientists. We hardly knew a thing, but I want to tell you what, we honored Jesus. Jesus was somebody then. Jesus was something back then. Hallelujah. Jesus was the forefront. Hallelujah. And we knew this. We got together. Jesus is coming to town. Jesus is going to be there because we're there. Hallelujah. And we knew that. And us poor dummies didn't know much, but we knew that. And Jesus would show up. I was in full gospel business. Excuse me, folks, but I'm not preaching none of what's in my notes. I did a lot of good studying, though. It was fun. I'll tell you, I learned some things. But anyhow, I remember back in the 80s, full gospel businessman. I'll never forget that. God put it in my heart to get involved with the full gospel businessmen. And I went down there and there were some contractors, some farmers, and these guys down there, and they got in. But there's one thing they had, and I got in among these guys. They loved Jesus. There was a dedication in these men's lives for Jesus Christ. Some of them businessmen, some of them really good business, making good money and all that kind of stuff. It meant nothing to them. Jesus was everything. And I went down around these guys and I thought, man, I like this stuff. Because you know what? You don't always get around. I'm just going to tell you this. Now, I've been around preachers in my life. I'm one of them, and I've been around. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of preachers I don't like to be around because they ain't got nothing. All they do is have a certificate that says they're ordained. That's all they got. But God didn't ordain them yet. He's waiting for them to want the anointing rather than something else. And but these guys were hungry for God. They wanted God. And you'd go to those meetings, and God showed up. He didn't show up because they were anything great. They knew a lot. These men's hearts were just right. They wanted God. They wanted God to show up. They wanted people blessed. They wanted God to do, and they believed He would come and visit and do things to people. And I love going being around these guys because I tell you, see, that stuff rubs off on you. I don't like to be around dead wood. I don't like hanging around with it. I don't like hanging around with it. It's like, I don't want to get wet. I want to burn. Throw gas on me and light me. Hallelujah. That's what we want. And see, those guys, that was like, it was like going with these guys. You lit on fire. You got close to them. There was so much heat going on over there. It gets you on fire. And you'd get around those men and those meetings. God would come to those meetings and visit. People would get blessed and healed, and most wonderful things would take place. These are common everyday guys. These guys go home after and go milk the cows. It was God. It's God moving. It was God. It wasn't those men. They just believed that if they got together and asked Him to show up, they believed He would. They didn't beg and plead. I know. I went with them. We prayed and stuff. I ended up becoming chapter president for a while. But these guys, they would inspire you with belief. Then I watched what happened to the full gospel businessmen. Then they started getting all these people in there that were bright. They're smart. Now they know what to do, and we can make this thing work better. This here, we got to change some things because now, You need to bring in the big basketball player and have his testimony about Jesus. See, we got to start doing it men's way. Let's get who's popular. Well, this is one thing, as I watched in Full Gospel, all those popular guys that came and gave their testimonies, most of them today have nothing to do with God, don't even walk with Him or have a thing to do with it. We used to have before just common guys would come and give their testimony. People get healed, saved, delivered. But I tell you what, we got more people filled with the Holy Ghost than those men. I don't think anybody ever wanted didn't get it. People just got filled with the Holy Ghost. They would come to those meetings. Why? It was men who needed God. That's all it was. I'm going to tell you what, we need Him more than we know. When the Word says, without Him we can do nothing, now you've heard me say this many times. That's not a nice cliche, but it's become a cliche in the body of Christ. It's a cliche. No, it's the truth. Without Him you can do nothing. Without Him you can do nothing. This Christianity don't work without Jesus. It don't work without Him. See, I believe you're here today. Why? Because you're hungry. Man, I'm hungry. I'm hungry. I've been fed all this Christian dessert for the last 10 years that's going on out here. And I'm going to tell you, all it does is leaves me the point, I need some meat. I need something to sustain me, you know. Give me some broccoli, I'll eat it. You know, it's like, give me something good to eat. I need something other than what's... Don't give me this Jesus out here that all He is a guy walking around carrying a lamb and barefooted. I don't want that Jesus. I want that Jesus that came out of that tomb. I want that one good glorified Jesus who is now sitting at the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. I want that Jesus. I want the Jesus that now all authority in heaven and earth is His. Hallelujah. I want that Jesus. That's the Jesus that we want. Hallelujah. That's my Jesus. That's your Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's like Mike made mention this morning, to know Him in the power of His resurrection. He prayed that this morning. We want to know Him in the power of His resurrection. Hallelujah. I don't want to know Him in the power of the cross. The church is to know Him in the power of the resurrection. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we can know Him in that. We can know Him in that great glory. And He will reveal that glory. The Word says that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. He'll quicken your mortal body. Hallelujah. It's that same resurrection power of God that raised Jesus from the dead is living in you today. And you know what His name is? He's the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And the church is sitting around praying for power. Glory to God, we have so much in us. Hallelujah. My God, if the Holy Ghost goes off, it'll blow me up. Hallelujah. Folks, I'm crazy, but let me alone. Dear God. It's wonderful to be this way. Hallelujah. That's the anointing of God. I'll tell you, I want Jesus. We want Jesus revealed. I'm tired of men. I'm tired of good speakers. I'm tired of these ministers sending me letters. And then they want to come and preach. And they tell me how they're a speaker that... Well, I'm a motivational speaker. Stay at home! I'm an anointed preacher! I don't need a motivational speaker! Hallelujah! I need somebody with an anointing from God to talk to me! Hallelujah! I'm tired of motivational speakers! They make me puke! The TV's filled with them! They call them preachers, and it's a lie! Many of them have been sent by the devil himself to put the church in a place of sleep. Listening to men who are not anointed, but they say nice stuff. I really like them. Oh, no. I don't like them. I don't like them because they rob the church. They kill the sheep. They rob from the sheep. They take their money with great promises and do nothing. Jesus has never done such a thing. Jesus has never been like that. Hallelujah. Jesus will ask you for money, but He'll never come and beg and bar and tell you. You know, Brother Hagin used to always tell us. He said, says nowhere in the New Testament, if you don't tithe, God's going to do something bad to you. That's your choice whether you want to give to God. I made a choice. I like to give to Him. Hallelujah. That's our choice. And I give because it's a wonderful thing. It's more blessed to give than receive. Hallelujah. My God, I'm wound up today. You notice? I just can't. I didn't plan on getting like this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I almost don't know what to do with it. It's just, there's a churning in me for Jesus. There's a churning in for me for Jesus to come back as head of the church again. It's a drive in me to have him back. I want to be like John the Baptist. I want to decrease and let him increase. I mean, I've had enough of me. Haven't you had enough of you?
Amen.
I've had enough of me. I want more Jesus. I want more Jesus in the church. People are suffering terrible out here in this world. And the only answer is Jesus. It's not a health system. I don't care what they do with this health system thing. I ain't even interested about it no more. I ain't even fussing with it. They go do whatever they want to do. I'm going to tell you what. Jesus showed up on the scene just as a man. He didn't show up as Jesus, the glorified Lord of the earth. And he showed up as a man. And look how many people got healed. What if we let him show up as Lord of heaven and earth? He will knock the socks off this place. I'll tell you what, if man would let him, he'd put the healthcare business out of business. But we have to allow him to do it. You know? God didn't put this young man in this position he's in. The thief came and stealing, killing, and destroying. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. We want the deliverance power of God back in the church again. The church world has gotten selfish. It's been all about me. You know, man, people are suffering terrible and all these things are going on. Our God don't like it. I want to like what he likes. That's what I want to like. And I know what God likes when he sent Jesus into the earth. He sent him as a healer. He loves healing. Jesus Christ spoke to me himself when I was a young Christian, told me how he loves to heal people. He wants to. And how it broke his heart that Christians won't allow him to heal them. Because they won't believe he's a healer. They think it all stopped. It's dead. Oh yeah, the last apostle died. It went out the window. He don't love people no more enough to heal them. I'm going to tell you, the love of God has not changed towards you today. I want you, God's love towards you has never changed. Every promise that he put in the book, he didn't put some for this guy, some for her over here, some for this person. They're all for all of us. We're all his kids. We're all his children. And he loves you dearly. Hallelujah. And all he says, hey, you believe on me, you can have anything. You can have anything. Anything that you believe, you can get. Hallelujah. Anything, all things are possible to him that believeth. Hallelujah. Did he deny that man whose son was bound by a demonic power, saying, well, it just ain't your day. Sometimes God says yes, sometimes he said no. He said, all things are possible to him that believeth. Did his son get delivered? Wow, yes. His son got delivered. Why? That's our Jesus. He don't change. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. It's almost hard to stop this thing. Whew. It's like a train that somehow the brakes went out and the engine stuck wide open and we're just, woo! Hallelujah. Down the track. Down the track we're going. Hallelujah. I want you think about what area of your life today do you need help in? What area right now? Now, there's usually not, we can have many things. Like if I look at my life, I can think of 10 different things you'd want to. But right now, of what you want God to do for you right now. What would you want God to do for you right now? Where do you need? See, some people, it may be different. Some people may be healing right now. Some people may be financial. Some people are just under stress, man, pressure. Their mind's been blown out. They just need peace in their mind. Things, you know, I'm going to tell you what, $1 million ain't going to clear that up. You can believe God for all the money you want. That don't stop that. Man, I've been over there where my mind was driving me crazy. And I'm going to tell you what, money, yeah, I had money, but I didn't have a clear mind. I want a clear mind. And no matter what it might be, what is that thing today for you? What is it that you want God today to do for you? Something that you're going to put in the forefront. What is that thing that he says? And when Jesus said to that man, he said, that man had a specific thing at that time that he was asking for. And he said, all things are possible to him that believe. Well, the guy didn't ask for, God, give me $1 million. I want you to see what he said to this man. See, if you will move toward the area of faith, if you'll just move that direction, if you'll move toward, actually move toward it, God will do something wonderful for you. He said that man, now, All things are possible to him that believe. And what did the man turn around and say to him? He said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. In other words, Lord, I got some faith here, but man, I'm in trouble. And Jesus said, you're finished. Out of here, bud. No, he didn't do that. This man started walking toward him by faith. God wants to prove things again in the church. When I came into the church in the 1980s, I know this. God did loads of wonderful stuff for us. And it wasn't because we were so big faith people. We were just moving toward it. And he was doing stuff for us. My wife and I could write books on miracles that God did. Absolutely phenomenal things God did for us. And when I look back today, I thought, my Lord, you talk about merciful God. I sure have one. He didn't do it because I was so great at faith, but I would walk as best as I could toward faith and the phenomenal things he would do just because we ask. The devil will say to you today, you can't ask for that. You couldn't believe that far. You can't. He'll tell you all your weaknesses. It doesn't matter what your weaknesses are. It's about believing in the one who is strong. You put your faith in the one who's strong, not yourself. I could never, you know, I can't heal me. I can't do what I can't make that happen. It'd be nice if I could, but I can't. So let's just forget that one. Jesus Christ is the healer. He's the deliverer. He's the one that does all this stuff. It's our faith in him. It's not faith. You might say, well, you know, my performance hasn't been good. Well, just ask God to forgive you, and that'll be great performance. And he said the blood of Jesus will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Now, you can stand before him today as just as if you never sinned. So you don't have to, don't let the devil cheat you today. Don't let the devil hold you out of a blessing today. Don't allow him to. I want you to say, you take that thing right now where you believe. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to do that place that you believe. And I want you to just tell the Lord, you talk to the Lord concerning that. I'm going to pray a general prayer here. But you talk to the Lord about yours. You tell the Lord that you believe today he's going to help you. Right now, Lord, your answer to me today is yes. It's not no, it's not maybe. No, you're promised. You're going to help me. Lord, you see the dilemma I'm in. Lord, I have faith in you. You might have to say to him, help my unbelief. Well, at least don't try to act like you got what you ain't. That wouldn't be right, would it? But say, Lord, I expect you're going to bring me out of whatever it is. You're going to turn this situation around for me. Father, I want to thank you right now for the power of God that's in this place. Lord, these are your people here. These are your people who were bought with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You paid for them. They're not the devil's kids. They're not somebody else's. They're your personal property. And you love them. You're the one that delivered them from the power of darkness. You trans.